Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We're going to turn our attention now to a sector we don't talk about a lot, the energy and chemicals sector.
Yeah, and yet, where would we be without it? If you're listening from the car, you would not be driving your car right
now.
So, interestingly, Singapore is one of the world's leading chemical hubs, with a mix of over 100 global chemical firms locating their major operations here.
And most of them are located at Jurong Island. It's a sprawling 3,000-hectare infrastructure formed from the 7 offshore islands.
The integrated ecosystem on the island creates the right synergies, enabling the industry, including petroleum and petrochemicals, to contribute nearly 3% of Singapore's GDP in 2015.
And today, Singapore is the world's fifth largest refinery export hub and ranks within the top 10 globally by chemical exports volume.
Despite the sector having a strong footprint in Singapore, back in 2017, a group of professionals banded together to form Hafnium Hafaway.
Yes, the aim is to try to attract to the city-state small European companies with specialized chemical technologies. How successful have they been? Let's find out from Francis Tan, Executive Director at Hafnium Hafaway. Francis, good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me,
Elliot. I really appreciate you taking the time. So you guys, it's a sector-focused private equity firm investing in small, medium, as well as corporate carved-out specialty chemicals businesses. Could you tell us a little bit more about Hafnium Hafaway?
Certainly. Hafnium believe that there's an opportunity to leverage on technology and innovation, especially as we are facing the mega trend of decarbonization, energy efficiency, and we believe that by investing in technologies and capability, that will enhance the capability of the industry to fulfill the needs of industries, consumers, as we try to tackle these mega trends. Hafnium has so far invested and focused on several sectors that includes food, flavors, ingredients, cosmetic and personal care, coatings and additives. Things that you talk about that you see day to day, both at home as well as in the office and in factories.
Yeah, things I think we all completely take for granted. Can I ask you a very off-the-cuff question, which is, why is it called Hafnium Hafaway? Is there a story to that?
Sure. Hafnium is an element in a periodic table. It's a reference to our focus on the sector in chemicals. Hafaway, it's a workplace to represent that we have a way to every challenge that the team comes across.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Well,
yeah, and on top of that, I think a little known fact, Hafnium, the weight for Hafnium is 178.49. And in Chinese, 178 is, again, it's a word play of let's prosper together.
Oh, okay. Gosh, well, I'm really glad that you were able to explain that to us because it makes a lot of sense now. Let's just talk about the overview of the energy and chemical sector in Singapore and around the world, of course. I mean, we've just given an outline of how big the sector here is. And I think a lot of people didn't realize that, but obviously that represents that huge opportunity, right? There's huge potential.
It does. I think we have benefited from over the years of investment, firstly by attracting big multinational to set up base here, and then over time building up that hub and creating infrastructure that allows us to produce raw materials via petroleum, via petrochemicals, and then exporting them. And because we are able to have that scale, we are able to do it competitively and supply this to markets outside of Singapore. And I think that has given us a very strong foothold. But however, as the neighbors around us start building up their infrastructure as well, then the challenge to Singapore is how do we then be more competitive with them, given that their plants are newer, more competitive, and also I think their cost of production probably more competitive than Singapore. So how do we win in that environment? Secondly, we also recognize that a lot of big companies that invest in Singapore, they are not wedded to the country. They're wedded to their shareholders and the returns that the shareholders want. And to that end, we need to continuously find ways in which value can be created, but more importantly, captured. And that is to go beyond the existing infrastructure, big plants, big assets, into innovation technology that adds value to the raw materials that's being produced.
Okay. And talking about innovation and technology, because we are talking about the energy and chemical sector, and we're looking at it as potential where Singapore is concerned. And having said that, it's such a needed sector, right? So if compared with our neighbors, or the potential to fight with our neighbors in that sense, where do we rank in terms of technology and innovation? I mean, how ahead of the curve are we?
Yeah, I think we recognize that very early. We recognize that we need a technology firstly to attract and to retain the MNC. But secondly, on top of that, is also to value add to the things that the industry produce. So Singapore has, from the industrial policy angle, we have recognized that very early. And we have put a lot of investment in research and technology via ASTAR, via the various research bodies in the university. I think the challenge we then have is that how you translate that technology from the lab into market, how do you have the receptacles to be willing to adopt, deploy, and commercialize them? I think that's where the challenge lies. And I think that's also where the means that we could overcome and compete against our neighbor.
I have to admit, when I think of private equity, I don't often think of the energy and chemicals business primarily. So I want to understand a little bit more about what you're trying to achieve here. You know, we said earlier that you're trying to attract to the city-state small European companies with specialized chemicals technologies. So I suppose it's a myth then, this sense that when it comes to the chemicals and energy business, you're talking about huge sums of money.
I think the chemicals is a wide industry. So if you look at it from the big oil and chemicals, their approach to investment is basically to go big, to get efficient, to get scale. On the other end, you've got the technology approach whereby you adapt your value chain. You enhance your value chain bit by bit in order to make it more competitive, to make it greener, to make it more energy efficient. We believe in the latter. We believe that you need to deploy technology into those areas. And then from there, you are able to both create and capture value and make yourself more sustainable and competitive over time. So big has its advantage, but being agile, nimble, especially with the challenges that we are talking about, the mega trend, again, on decarbonization, developing sustainable products, developing services and products that consumers would want to buy from you. I think that being agile is critically important.
So are you finding that investors are responding in just the way you wanted them so far? How are the investments going?
I think the investments are going okay on the technology and innovation front. Since we've incepted, we've invested in 4 ventures. Those are in the technology area that develops IP formulation and processes. It enhances the business in the sector.
We're speaking with Francis Tan, the executive director of Hafnium Hathaway. We are talking about the energy and chemical sector. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, investment in technology and how that will sort of fight against the implications for that sector. I do understand that back in November 2018, Hafnium Hathaway, together with ASTAR, for specialty chemicals subsector, had a $20 million tie-up. Could you tell us a little bit about how it's been, you know, 2 years on? How has it gone so far and the importance of this tie-up with an A-Star arm?
Sure. I think it's critically important for us. I think, as I've alluded to earlier, I think A-Star is the vehicle where the government has put in a lot of resources in terms of research and development to make the sector more competitive. Our role is to take the technology, deploy them, and bring them to bear. So far, we've invested in 1 co-investment with A-Star. They're looking to do more with them over time.
Okay. Earlier you alluded to, you know, carbon emissions and carbon goals for the coming decade. I think that is obviously something that is in investors' minds. It is something that is being thought about quite deeply by the investment community. What is your position when it comes to net zero? Why is it important? And what are the implications for the sector?
Sure. So I think we could look at it from 2 angles. On the one hand, if you look at big oil, big chemicals, again, the net zero concept is about a pivot from their current position. So they shift their portfolio from the existing businesses and assets and then deploy them into the renewable space. In the new energy space, you're talking about companies that are involving carbon capture sequestration, renewable energy, electric vehicle. So you see that 2 very distinct paths. But what investors are not really familiar with is that in between, there's a lot of work within the chemical sector looking at how green and sustainability can be developed. For example, the use of bio-based material instead of hydrocarbons for plastics. For example, in terms of more functional materials that allows energy efficiency to be had. So that part of it is probably less prominent because it is captured under the umbrella of chemicals. Our role is to invest in this sector, repackage them, and bring up and enhance the ability with which this green sustainability capability can be brought to bear in the marketplace. And we do that, again, through the use of the technology that A*STAR produce, through the capability that a group of us with deep expertise and experience in the sector has. And it's not an easy sector to look at because it requires deep technical insight. It also requires an understanding of a very long value chain in order for value to be created and more critically to be captured from an investor's perspective.
But these sustainability or these responsibility towards sustainability, it's of huge interest to the investor of today. Francis, my question is, the technology, you know, that you talked about, the technology to ensure that we have a more sustainable energy and chemical sector, more environmentally friendly chemical sector, is it being developed fast enough to meet investors' interests, to get the interest of investors?
I think if there's a lot of resources being pumped into developing it, I think the challenge, again, is how fast we can commercialize and adopt it.
Okay.
Because I think, as I described, I think there's always that resistance of cannibalization of your existing business if you do that. So that's why the big oil basically just do a pivot. They go into the renewable space immediately. To do that within your existing business would take more time, more effort, and it's not easy to do, but which we think is an investment area that is attractive if you're able to get it right.
Okay, Francis, you know, this year, 2021, is going to be one where we talk about vaccinations. Vaccination programs are being rolled out across the world. What sort of a difference is it going to make that we have these higher expectations for economic growth this coming year when it comes to the chemicals and energy sector?
I think, as we alluded before, the chemical touches every aspect of our lives. And I think in terms of COVID response that we talk about, many of the materials that's being used, from PPE, personal protective equipment, the mask that we use, the medical equipment, for that matter, the vaccination kit that is being taken up, all come from chemical materials and all come from the innovation of using those chemical materials. So I think there will still be a focus in that area. Secondly, I think when we talk about, you know, the implication of COVID, we see how people recognize that self-sufficiency is key. So in terms of being able to produce the ingredients, being able to have an integrated supply chain, that's really, really integral to how a country or an industry responds to it. And I think, that has been a driver to a lot of the transformation and transition taking place. And I think that has forced the industry to really, you know, take that step forward. In previously, they will be more tentative whether it's a good to have or a need to have. And I think they recognize now, because what's happening, it is need to have.
Thanks very much for sharing all of that with us. We've been speaking with Francis Tan, Executive Director of Hafnium Hathaway. Francis, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks for having me. Have a nice day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.